Welcome to Through the Word. Here you are on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Nickham and Jonathan Ferguson guide us through the Gospel of Matthew. Now to Pastor Chris.
Matthew 19 is about divorce, kids, and wealth, or as I like to call this chapter, marriage, monkeys, and money. And of course, I use monkeys here as a term of endearment. The first topic, though, is a hard one. Divorce.
Verse 3. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" There was a major debate going on in Judaism at the time. There was two rival schools that continually were fighting back and forth against each other. Imagine UCLA and USC, Oregon and Oregon State, Oklahoma and Texas. Now make it religious. Well, I guess in Texas, football is already kind of religious.
So in Jesus' day, two rival rabbis had very different interpretations on a passage back in Deuteronomy 24. So divorce was legal, but the question was, what constitutes valid grounds for divorce? Well, one leading rabbi said it was marital unfaithfulness, as in adultery. Another rabbi said it could be anything that offends you, even burning your breakfast.
And the Pharisees come to test Jesus. Whose camp would he fall into? Who would he offend? Jesus doesn't answer right away. He goes all the way back to Genesis, to before the fall, to the creation of Adam and Eve. Verse 4. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" Jesus' answer was that God never intended for anyone to get a divorce. God's plan for marriage was that two people would get married and remain married for life.
It is very good to go back to the original plan. How did God want this in the first place? But here's the thing. Almost every marriage starts out with an original plan to stay together. But we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. And the Pharisees have a follow-up question for Jesus. In verse 7, "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" It's a good point. If God didn't want divorce, why did he make rules for it?
Well, Jesus answers them, but really, they're not going to like it. Verse 8, Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning." Jesus says divorce was permitted because the people of Israel had hard hearts. God knew that men would put away their wives, and so made sure that the manner in which they did it was fair. By giving the wife a certificate of divorce, it proved to the community that she was single again and could remarry. Without that certificate, no other man would marry her, leaving her destitute.
Now this is important. God can deal with imperfect lives, and he gave rules to make sure that people who went through divorce were still treated fairly and treated each other fairly. But Jesus steers the argument away from the reasons to divorce back to the reasons that God made marriage in the first place. And if you are wondering about divorce, you should do the same. Stop talking reasons for divorce and focus first on the reasons you got married and on God's plan. Still, Jesus doesn't end there. He finally answers the question in verse 9. "I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." So Jesus sides with the conservative rabbis, saying that sexual immorality is the only biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage.
We know this is a very sensitive subject, and so before we move on, I want to bring up forgiveness. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin. God is willing to forgive. As someone who's experienced the effects of a divorce on children, I can share that God's forgiveness can heal broken hearts, broken families, broken homes. God's forgiveness is available to all who seek him.
I can echo that. My parents divorced when I was a teenager. It hurt. It hurt them and it hurt me. God says in Malachi that he hates divorce. And I think it's for the same reasons that most divorced people hate divorce. It's awful. For the couple and for the kids. For a child, it destroys a core foundation. But understand that God is a restorer and rebuilder. Jesus came to heal, not hurt, to forgive, not condemn. The law condemns, but Jesus forgives. He puts the lonely in families. He restores broken souls. And he cares about kids. In fact, in the very next story, people were bringing their kids to Jesus for a blessing. The disciples didn't want the headache, but Jesus loved the kids. And then, as Jesus moves on, something happens. In verse 16, "Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" It's a good question, but notice that he asked what he had to do, presuming that heaven is something that you earn by doing good things. And the young man here thinks he's done pretty good. He's rich. Back then, common wisdom said that wealth meant God must like you. But Jesus reminds him that no one is good but God. Still, when Jesus asks him about keeping the commandments, he boasts in verse 20, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?"
I love what Mark says about this story. In Mark 10, it says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus saw a major sin in this man's life and confronted him about it. Verse 21, "Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." Jesus gets to the heart of the first and greatest commandment, loving the Lord with your whole heart, mind, and strength. This young man had a problem. He loved money more than he loved God.
See, the real answer to the question, how to get eternal life, was to follow Jesus. No one is good enough except Jesus. But this man couldn't follow Jesus because his heart was already following its treasure, which was money. The money itself is not sin, but if you treasure it, your heart will chase it and lead you away from Christ and away from heaven. So in verse 23, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven.'"
Yep. More money, more problems.
Really, Jonathan? This is your commentary? More money, more problems?
What? It was Jesus who said this. I mean, he said it's harder to get a rich man into the kingdom of heaven than a camel through an eye of a needle. You ever see a camel? We got a camel herder that lives on our road. It's hard enough to get those things through his gate, let alone through a needle's eye. I know he's using hyperbole here, but still, more money, more problems.
Okay, verse 25. "When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" See, the disciples were worried. If it was difficult for the wealthy to go to heaven, and everyone thought that God favored them, then who could possibly enter? Jesus says, no one. No one can enter the kingdom. It's impossible. But God makes all things possible.
It is God alone who can work out our salvation. We cannot trust in our good deeds as this young man was trying to do. Romans 3 says, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." The righteousness of God is not something that we earn. It is something that is freely given to us. It is possible only with God.
Now, I know we're tackling some big issues today, and 9 minutes will not answer all your questions. On divorce, our Mark 10 guide has more. And about getting to heaven, listen to our Romans intro and Romans 1, 2, and 3. For now, read Matthew 19. And if you do have questions, do what they did. Bring all your questions to Jesus.
Matthew chapter 19, marriage and money in the kingdom.
Marriage, monkeys, and money. Speaking of monkeys, where's that Benjamin? He's supposed to help me teach. Oh, there he is.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend or listen or support it. So thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder for Through the Word. Jonathan Ferguson is a church planter, and I won't be Kenya. And he's my dad. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word. Can I listen to it?
Yeah, we'll listen to it now.
Okay, put the earphones on me, okay?
Okay.
So I can listen through the...